On the field, inside the clubhouse, and everything in between. This is Brewers Weekly. Here's Dominic Catronio.
Woo-wee, what a game that was today. And then you just get absolutely sucker punched here tonight. Dang! Welcome in, everybody. I'm Dominic Catronio. Brewers get the win, 6-4. Devin Williams was electric once again. Jackson Churio was at the center of a couple of rallies. William hit another home run. Tobias pitched well. You get the split with the Dodgers, exactly what we talked about in Tuesday night's show. And then tonight, just about an hour and a half ago, the news came across the wire. Christian Yelich is officially out for the rest of the season. He is going to opt for the season-ending back surgery and expects to be 100% for spring training, which starts, as we learned today, February 22nd of next year. This stinks, man. This flat out stinks. You know, it's just having a great season, being placed on the injured list twice, and then this. I feel for the dude because he did every route imaginable to try to get this non-surgical, try to come back this season. And as he said in his statement, he really wanted to come back this year. But the long-term view was too great to pass up, meaning if this could be the end of this for him, meaning, hey, this isn't going to flare up anymore once we nip it now, you can understand why he was excited to do it because of how well he was playing this year, even despite having that popping up in his back. I'm gutted for the Brewers, and quite frankly, the Brewers have not played enough games to have a sample size without Christian Yelich in their lineup. And we'll talk about in the next segment what they need to do specifically from the three hole and maybe from some spots that you might not expect or some contributors that haven't quite hit your radar. The phone number is 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620 if you want to join us. We're going for an hour tonight. The thing about Yelly's injury, the Brewers with the numbers, they're 27-21, including today, without Christian Yelich in the starting lineup. Now, is that sustainable? You would hope, given it's their new normal. Can they win postseason series without Christian Yelich? Remains to be seen. Didn't do it in 2019 when he was out with the broken kneecap. Trent Grisham and everything, you know the story. You got to wonder, you know, there's a lot of revisionist history saying the Brewers should have got a bat. The Brewers should have got a bat. Why didn't they get a bat at the trade deadline? I'm sitting here to remind you, there weren't many bats available that would have fit into this picture. The Brent Rooker price was exorbitant from what sources told me, and he didn't move. Eloy Jimenez, okay. The Brewers have a logjam at DH right now. And then you're carrying three catchers right now. Look, Gary's got to get some ABs here soon, and I think that's going to be one of my solutions coming up in the next segment. So there isn't a lot of room for a bat to get everyday reps, and now you got Blake Perkins down, and maybe you're thinking, well now you're going to need to get another outfielder. I do want to remind folks, Brewer Hicklin was placed on the 40-man roster right before the end of July. He had an out in his contract that if he wasn't on the 40-man roster by the end of July, he was going to be a free agent and he was going to be able to opt out of his deal. And so the Brewers added him to the 40-man, albeit while Yelly was on the IL. And now with Perkins on the IL and Yelly likely headed to the 60-day IL for the rest of the year, maybe Brewer Hicklin becomes an option for the Brewers to bring him up. He's right-handed. The catch there is that there's a lot of swing and miss in that bat, but he is slugging over 500 in AAA this season. He had made his big league debut with the Royals a year ago. So that's something to think about for him, but at the same time, for the crew, their veteran, their leader, I mean, Yelly was openly talking about it this spring training that he looked around this clubhouse and realized, like, these guys watched him 5 years ago, 6 years ago. These guys know my career from afar. Now they're sharing a clubhouse with me. I need to show them how it's done. I need to be the guy. Him and Bryce Terang have been locker mates, and Joey Ortiz is nearby. Jackson Churio is nearby. These young guys are kind of looking to Yelly, like, all right, man, like, how do we be big leaguers? How do we continue this tradition here in Milwaukee? And Yelly still got 5 years left on his deal. He ain't going anywhere. But the thing is, there is still that moment of hesitancy of, okay, well, is it going to come back? It is back surgery, after all. There's no reason to speculate until we, A, know what the specific procedure is. He has got the surgery actually scheduled for tomorrow. And we will be talking to General Manager Matt Arnold tomorrow as members of the media, getting the update on Yelly's surgery. The Brewers are understandably frustrated. This was not news that was public knowledge while we were in the clubhouse earlier today after the victory, which kind of puts a damper on what the Brewers did earlier today. But we will find out what Matt Arnold is thinking and how much he knew and what the Brewers' game plan is here down the stretch for replacing Christian Yelich. It's a nearly impossible task, but the Brewers have to find a solution if they want to win a playoff series this year. And I also want to make it clear, setting the bar at win a playoff series isn't necessarily the bar. You always want to win the World Series. But those odds and those chances just took a big turn not having Christian Yelich available. That's the truth. This team's best version of itself has Christian Yelich in the three spot. And now they got to figure out life without him. Get to a couple of these texts, 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620. If you want to text us, if you want to call us, talk about Christian Yelich and today's game. We will get to today's game, I promise, as we're going to the top of the hour right here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
Brewers Weekly on WTMJ.
Welcome back. I'm Dom Petronio. Brewers win. They're in first place. They're 9 games up. They have the biggest division lead in baseball. They are firmly in playoff position. And best yet, they're back to 17 games above 500. They just split with the Dodgers. They had a couple of thrilling comeback wins. Like, there's a lot of good news happening with the crew, but we're going to spend this segment talking about what they can do to maybe get a little bit better with today's breaking news that Christian Yelich is out for the rest of the season. A few things that jump out to me. I went back and looked at the lineups the first time Christian Yelich was out of the order in April, and the recent lineups since he's been out since mid-July. So the first go-around without Christian Yelich in the three-hole, the Brewers used 7 different players. Willy Adames, Tyler Black, Jake Bowers, Sal Frelick, Rhys Hoskins, Gary Sanchez, and Owen Miller for one game. Now, over these last 3 or so weeks, the Brewers have used 6 different hitters, 3 of them repeats from those guys back in April. The repeats, Rhys Hoskins, Gary Sanchez, and Jake Bowers, but the 3 new guys in the fold are Garrett Mitchell, Jackson Churio, and William Contreras. Yeah, let me go back to April and tell you, hey, Jackson Churio is going to be maybe your best player on the team. Jackson Churio is going to be your best hitter on the team in August, and you're going to be up by 9 games. And you're going to be like, what? Yeah, it's been wild how fast this happened. This text here from Doug, what's the Brewers record without Yelich? Just said it a moment ago, 27-21. This one, Tom in Pewaukee, drowning my Yelly sorrows by watching Devin Williams versus Mookie Freeman and Shohei again. From a pure baseball fan standpoint, that was all time. We'll get to that. Don't worry, Tom. But with the Yelly stuff, the three spot has continued to kind of confound the Brewers and figure out what they need from that spot in the order for the rest of the season. I've openly said it, and Pat Murphy actually invited us to say, like, let's step aside and let's talk about why Garrett Mitchell is hitting third and what that does for lineup balance and that sort of thing. Look, man, you are carrying 3 catchers for a reason. And the reason you carry 3 catchers is because 2 of them are going to be playing every day. Why isn't Gary DHing? That's my plain and simple question. Gary has been fantastic since he came off the IL. I got the numbers to back it up. Coming into today, He was 10 for his last 28. That's a 357 average, a homer. And then today, he throws in another walk. He has more walks than strikeouts since he came off the injured list over these last 15, 20 or so games. Furthermore, that's without regular ABs. That's without him getting in there. He doesn't need to be in there to be just a hitter. He can get days behind the plate. That's why today, I was shocked when we saw the lineup and that William Contreras not only was in the lineup, I knew he was going to be in the lineup, of course, but that he was catching again. I thought Gary was going to get the start today. And then Gary came off the bench, drew a professional AB, drew a walk, and then his day was done. He was pinch ran for by Tyler Black. I think that's an easy solution right there. The Brewers would counter, saying, well, we're about to face a ton of right-handed pitching. And also, this team is built on speed. He does not have any of it. And the Brewers all of a sudden can get really slow for some chunks of their lineup, right? Let's say you got Gary in the three spot, William hitting fourth, Willie hitting fifth, and let's say Reese hits sixth. So that's four straight righties, and that is four straight slow pokes right there in the middle of the order. But if they're supplying pop, I'm not going to complain about that. I think Gary seems to be a very natural fit, but the Brewers like to put a lefty in there because with Terang leading things off, you have the righty with Churio, then you like to have a lefty there for lineup balance. The Brewers say that that helps them when it comes to get proper leverage in the later stages of the game. Look at today for an example, right? The Dodgers brought in their situational lefty, Alex Vezia. And Vezia has been good against righties, not great, but he is a guy that is in there to get lefties out. And the Brewers managed to create chaos. He comes in there to face Bowers. What happens? The Brewers pinch hit Gary Sanchez. Gary draws a walk. The next batter is a right-handed hitter in Rhys Hoskins. He also draws a walk. Then he had the failed Butcher Boy with Sal Frelick. We'll get to that a little bit later. That was the only lefty he ended up facing until he saw Terang again at the top of the order. But the Brewers are able to alternate in order to say, okay, you get this one AB, but then we'll have the leverage on the next AB. And it goes back and forth the rest of the game. That's what the Brewers like to do. The fans can disagree with it. Now, that's fine. That's your call. The Brewers are comfortable in saying we'd rather have a Garrett Mitchell, a Jake Bowers, a lefty hitting in the three spot when they're facing a righty. Different story when they're facing a lefty, but the problem is they're not going to face a lefty starter for a while here unless the Cardinals throw Matthew Liberatore into the starting rotation for some reason next week. The Brewers won't face another lefty till at least when they come back home to take on the Giants after that West Coast trip next weekend. So they have to find a solution for this three spot in the meantime, especially without Blake Perkins in the starting lineup, because, you know, if Garrett's going to continue to hit three-hole as an everyday center fielder, Frelick's got to be in there. There's got to be both lefties in there because all of a sudden the Brewers are very thin in the outfield in the blink of an eye. Bowers can play corner outfield too, and maybe they get that situational righty that really, really struggles against lefties and they just load it up and dare you to bring in a left-handed pitcher, and then you've got Gary or Reese or whomever coming off the bench and ready to go. That three spot is going to be the thing we keep an eye on. The fact that you have six different guys, that tells you the void that he has left. The Brewers have mostly, I mean, it's been pretty close between Bowers and Mitchell as of late. Reese has only been getting the three-hole when they're facing lefties. I'm intrigued to what the rest of this week will hold because we'll learn a lot about what the Brewers think about that three spot without Christian Yelich. Defensively, they're fine. They've got Churio, Frelick, Mitchell, and then when Perkins come back, Perkins considers his injury minor. He expects to spend a very little amount of time on the injured list, if the minimum, if any more than the minimum. But for the Brewers to be able to absorb it defensively, they're not going to be able to absorb it on at the three spot of the order to continue the production that they had been producing there. I still stand by. I think Gary should be getting more ABs. Use that three catcher luxury while you have it. I don't think Tyler Black should be hitting third, but that's part of the reason why we see Mitchell and Black in there is that lineup balance conversation we had just now. So I'll talk to Pat Murphy about this a little bit more this week and try to pick his brain about that a little bit more and have that audio on Brewers warm up this week. We've got three pregame shows this week. It'll be tomorrow at 6, Saturday at 5, and then Sunday at noon. All the pregame audio, Brewers warm up right here on your home of the Brewers, 620. WTMJ.
It's Brewers Weekly on WTMJ.
This text made me chuckle. Dom, do you bat from the left side? Here's your three-hole hitter. No, I don't. I tried switch hitting for about 2 years, and that did not go well when I was younger. Welcome back. I'm Dom Cutronio. Brewers win today 6-4 over the Dodgers. Now we can finally shift gears and talk about how great of a ball game today was. Also, shout out to Wisconsin. 40,000 at the ballpark on a Thursday. Shout out to the roof. That wouldn't have happened 25 years ago, to say the least. But that was an awesome environment today here for the Dodgers as the crew to get the victory today as well. Let me get to one last text here before we move on to today's game. This one from Mike in Colorado. Should not have been surprised by Yelly's surgery choice. I heard he made no recent improvement. That is the truth. I think he should have opted for the surgery weeks ago, and if it goes well, he will, and he will be happy he had surgery. When it comes to Churio's contract details, length, money, escalator clauses, etc., we'll get to that at the very end of the show, Mike, I promise. But let's talk about the decision for him to wait for 3 weeks. It's like, what's the worst that could happen? You're out for the year either way. It's not like if he took the surgery 3 weeks ago, he would have a chance to come back in October. That was never on the table. It's rest and rehab. See if you come back. If it's not working out, get surgery. The timeline's still the same. He's expected to be 100% by spring training. So that's part of the reason why they waited on that one. Today's game was a fast and furious start. Tobias Myers against Jack Flaherty. Tobias had a 1-2-3 top of the first inning, and then a leadoff double by Bryce Terang, instantly getting that double that was erased from him yesterday with the base-running gaffe by Joey Ortiz. And holy cow, we might have a superstar on our hands once again here in Milwaukee.
Terang, 0-1 pitch, fly ball left center. Hammered! Gone! Two-run bomb, Jackson Churio, and the Brewers strike first in a big way.
Jeff Levering's call here on WTMJ. Significant homer for Churio because that puts him at 15 homers and 15-plus stolen bases. Here's the list of players at 20-and-a-half years old. He's 20-and-157, so a little less than 20-and-a-half, to have accomplished 15-and-15 that young. Phil Cavaretta, Ken Griffey Jr., Bryce Harper, Adrian Beltre, and Andrew Jones. That's pretty good company right there for Jackson Churio, and he's still not done. He's got a chance for a 2020 season here with, what is it now, 39 games to go for the crew. The Brewers weren't done in the inning as well. Two batters later, it was Wild Bill.
Flaherty waggles the glove, 3-2 again. Fly ball deep left. This ball is way out of here. Headed towards Bernie Chalet. Solo blast, William Contreras, his third of this series. And the Brewers lead it 3-0 in the bottom of the first.
There was suddenly like a little film of smoke there at the ballpark because the roof was closed, the panels were closed because of all the rain earlier today. And Contreras has quietly been white hot since the start of August. Here in the month of August, he is now hitting .314. With a one dot, he's 1151 OPS here in the month. That was his fifth homer. Also, his 12th extra base hit this month. Six doubles, a triple, and five homers here in August for William. That's a sign of things to come, perhaps, for him. He's getting a few more DH reps in there, too. He caught all four games of this series. I wonder if he's going to DH tomorrow against the Guardians. So the Brewers out to a 3-0 lead, but a slow bleed, and the defense was not pretty again today for the crew, specifically Willy Adames failing to turn a double play in the attempt to get a shutdown inning in the top of the second. Man reached on an infield hit that was Gavin Lux on a ball that was failed to be scooped by Rhys Hoskins. Tough play. Lux runs well. Not a big deal, but hey, you could say if he got the scoop, he would have been out. Then you had the ground ball to short that was slowly hit enough that Willie really had to hustle to throw to second base, those intermediate throws, and he threw it away. It put runners on second and third, so that's two extra outs. And there's one out in the inning at this point. The Brewers had the infield back, content to take a run for an out. That's exactly what happened. An RBI ground out from Jason Hayward, moved a runner to third, run scored. But okay, one run in with two outs, no big deal. Man on third, and then Andy Páez hits a deep fly to left that I think Churio would tell you, you know, maybe in a year or two when he gets more experience in the outfield, he could catch. And I wonder if, you know, Blake Perkins or Sal Freely could have made that play. Not that they're left fielders, but just the sort of thing. Once Jackson gets more reps in the outfield, because he is not comfortable going back on the baseball, and he has struggled defensively in left field. He almost made the play. I'm not going to say you expected him to make that play, but I think it's one that you've seen Brewer outfielders make the play. So all of a sudden, it scores another run, and the Brewers have allowed two runs in the inning, both unearned in that frame, and it's 3-2. And then finally, in the third, a two-out rally forms what I call backbreakers. We talked about it on the show last night. Backbreakers are two-strike, two-out hits. Those are just like, you had a chance to end the inning. One of the backbreakers was Freddie Freeman, professional hitter. It happens. He keeps the inning alive with a two-out, two-strike single. Then a first-pitch single by Will Smith. All of a sudden, you got men on the corners. And then a two-strike, two-out RBI single by Gavin Lux to tie the game against Tobias Myers. Jack Flaherty would settle down, as would Myers from there. Myers worked into the sixth inning. And this was an inflection point. We'll talk about this decision a little bit later. To go to Elvis Peguero with men on the corners and two outs for the nine spot, right-hander Kike Hernandez. Now, maybe they go to the bench and go bring a lefty on to face the righty Peguero. Doc Roberts decided to stick with Kike, and he gets a label shot ground ball through the right side for a base hit on the first pitch to Elvis. Elvis has not been good this season with inherited runners. The situation that Pat Murphy explained, because he had both Peguero warming and Hudson warming, but by going to Peguero, if he did not retire Hernandez, that guaranteed he was going to face Shohei Ohtani because of the three-batter minimum. So I asked, well, why not use Hudson there, even though it's a righty versus lefty? He said, we thought that Peguero gave us the best chance for the option. The numbers disagree with that, but that's what the Brewers went with, especially with the inherited runner stat that's been happening lately. Nonetheless, the Dodgers took the lead 4-3, and the Brewers needed some help to try to get things going back in their favor. Flaherty finally out of the game. They're into the bullpen in the sixth inning. That was a no-problem inning for Michael Kopech. Then Vezia, like we talked about, came in the seventh, but he escapes the inning after back-to-back walks to lead off the frame, then hands the ball to Daniel Hudson in the eighth. And this is where the chaos began. Jackson Churio, leadoff double. Then it was Garrett Mitchell. What an at-bat from Garrett Mitchell. I know he's in a slump. He knows it too. To go from 1-2 to that walk, firing up his dugout, awesome to see. First and second, nobody out. William Contreras, the next batter. He hits a grounder hard. Excuse me, Willie Adames, the next batter. No, I'm right. I'm sorry. William Contreras, the next batter. He gets a base hit. That was an infield hit, too. So the bases are loaded. Willie Adames at the plate, the exact guy you want in the seventh inning or later.
Line to left, a base hit. That'll tie the game. Mitchell stops at third. It's 4-4. Station to station in the eighth inning. And the Brewers have evened it up.
And then some chaos started to happen. So tied, still nobody out, and the bases loaded. The Brewers' next batter was Jake Bowers. He would hit a ground ball to third, or was scheduled to be Bowers, I beg your pardon. It was Gary pinch hitting for in the last inning. Then it was actually Tyler Black who had come in to pinch run for Gary.
Ground ball left side, a stop by the third baseman, scoring is Mitchell. Black is out at first base. The Brewers lead it 5-4.
That was an incredible diving stop by Kike Hernandez to his left. But the moment that he had to dive, Garrett had a great read on it. Given it was bases loaded, he had to go on contact. No hesitation. He read it perfectly that it was a ground ball. So the Brewers take the lead on that ball in play from Tyler Black. And then how about some chaos and some footy, if you will, from Rhys Hoskins?
0-1. Grounded off the foot of Hudson. Coming home is Contreras to score. That's two in the inning that Hudson is deflected. The Dodgers at least get an out as it was hit to Rojas. Hoskins drives in a run, his 60th RBI of the season, and it's a two-run lead for the Brewers.
It's the Jeff Levering Show here on the highlights. So the Brewers have a two-run lead. Devin Williams warming in the bullpen, and he said it last night, you know, I might have to do it again tomorrow after he faced 1-2-3 in the order, sent him down, and today he didn't necessarily face 1-2-3 in the order, but almost the same personnel. Andy Pajes was up first. He ended up flying out. The next batter was Mookie Betts, pinch hitting at the bottom of the order. He struck out again. And then it was Shohei Ohtani with nobody on and two outs. And a heck of a battle here. First five pitches were all fastballs. He finally threw him a changeup on the 3-2 pitch. He was out in front of it, and he hooked it foul down the right field line. You're thinking, oh, man. He was out in front, and he still crushed it like 100 miles an hour off the bat. So all that was left to do was go back to the heater and end this game.
3-2 pitch. Struck him out swinging. Got a fastball by him, and the Brewers have split this four-game series with L.A. Devin Williams strikes out a pair, and the Brewers come off the mat and win it by a final of 6-4. Big win for the Brew Crew. We'll tell you all about it.
That was massive. I mean, Devin Williams to go 6-up, 6-down this series, twice striking out Mookie Betts, getting Freddie Freeman to ground out, getting Shohei Ohtani to go 0-for-2 against him. It's nice to have him back, to say the least. We'll hear some postgame sound from Rhys Hoskins, from Tobias Myers, and from Pat Murphy coming up in the next segment. The Brewers won today to earn the split. They win 6-4 here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Weekly on WTMJ.
Welcome back. I'm Dom Catronio. Rhys Hoskins had a clutch RBI late. Tobias Myers pitched into the sixth inning. And you'll hear from Pat Murphy here in a moment. I'm Dom Catronio. Let's start with the starting pitcher. No decision for him, but he quietly continues his hot stretch as of late. And since the start of June coming into today, the only pitcher with a better ERA than Tobias Myers was Blake Snell, minimum 40 innings over that time. And Tobias going into the sixth inning, super important once again to have length out of the starter. The Brewers actually had length out of all of their starters this series, which maybe doesn't tell you the whole story after they split, but over his last 12 starts, it's still a sub-2 ERA, a 1.86 ERA, a sub-1 whip, 0.98. Opponents only hitting 213 off him. You don't need to strike out the world, kids. Helps to have an elite fastball like Tobias. Here's what he had to say in the media scrum earlier today.
This lineup, how do you feel like you handled it, responded to it?
Definitely think it could have been better, but I'm very excited to get in that sixth inning and just keep them where they were and give the team a chance to win. That was what I was looking forward to the most, is just how deep I can get in there, and especially giving up a few runs early on in the game, just excited to get out there for the sixth.
Not the same swing and miss stuff that we saw against the Reds, but what was your game plan against them?
Try to get as many early outs as we can, keep the ball in the ballpark, and just go as deep as I can. So not the most swing and miss stuff we've ever seen, but we'll work on it. Just excited to get through that fifth inning, get out there for the sixth, and keep them where they were.
You mentioned last night how those guys just don't swing at balls. Did you sense that today of just having trouble getting chase?
Yeah, definitely. Really good lineup. They do a good job of making you stay in the zone and try to do damage with those pitches in the zone. So excited I kept the ball in the ballpark all day, so that was a plus for sure.
Ricky, how much of just a security blanket is it for you guys to see Devin coming out of the bullpen in the ninth and seeing what he's done these last 2 days?
It's huge. I mean, we know if we have the lead going into the ninth, we got a pretty good chance we're going to win the ball game. So it's awesome to hand the ball off to someone like that who you can put all your trust in and get us that win.
Les, what do you take away from this series, splitting with them, knowing that if things go right, maybe you play them again?
Yeah, I think it was a good series. I mean, we came out, played pretty good baseball, left a few guys on, didn't pitch as best as we could, but for those circumstances, being able to split with these guys, I think it's a good thing.
It's a very good thing. Tobias had the right frame of mind, and the fact that he still thought that he could have been better in that one against that lineup, very impressive from him. Rhys Hoskins from the offensive perspective, and he obviously had a late RBI that was clutch, and the overall state of getting a split here.
What we think of ourselves as a team, that we can kind of get knocked down the first couple of games and figure out a way to win a couple of games on the back end of the series to split with a really good team. It's important to win these games at home. It's nice to, like I said, get knocked down and win a couple of games, see if we can take that confidence in every weekend.
The eighth inning, you guys come back alive after the first inning. In between there, it was a tough go. What happened in the eighth inning to get you guys kind of going again and turn this game around?
I think we just continue to have good at bats. I don't know about a tough go. I think we hit some balls hard right at people. They pitched well. We found some holes in the eighth, and I think I said this to Soph on the field, but the first two guys go out there and have good at-bats, get on, put the pressure back on the defense and the pitcher. That type of thing I think is pretty contagious for an offense. So we were able to string together 5, 6, 7 good at-bats and take the lead in the eighth.
What's it like playing behind Tobias? You know, Murph said guys really enjoy it. What is it like for you playing behind him?
Yeah, you can tell that from his first couple starts to now that he's just confident in what he and William are trying to do. He's getting the sign, getting the call, and the tempo's good, right? Which usually means that he's confident in what he's got. So, yeah, I mean, it's great. He pitches to contact. He's in the zone. He fills up the zone, but also has the stuff to go and grab a strikeout when he needs it. So it's awesome to see the little run he's on. Hopefully he can continue it.
Just as a player, what's it like watching Devin match up with Betts, Ohtani, the way he has the last couple
of games? I mean, just as a fan, right? It's kind of what you want as a baseball fan. Kind of the best versus the best there. I've seen Devin from the box too many times, so I know what those guys are going through as hitters. But I can tell you, just playing behind him, it's awesome to see the way he attacks those guys. Everybody knows about the changeup. It's one of the best pitches in baseball, but to throw the heater where he has been these last couple days and just challenge guys to get ahead of them has been outstanding.
I remember an interview a while ago about Devin Williams, where they were just all talking about changeup, all talking about changeup. And he's like, hey, I throw 95 too, by the way. Like, let's not sniff at that. And he was hitting 96 today in that AB with Shohei Ohtani. And then a little bit from Pat Murphy today, as he summed it up very eloquently earlier today.
It wasn't perfect. You know what I mean? Like, there was a lot of points back and forth. It was emotional. You know, a lot of points from our young guys where, you know, it's August of their, and they're still making some mistakes and those type of things, so you get kind of emotional about it, but they bounce back. Bounce back.
They bounce back indeed. The short and sweet, that was the truth from Pat Murphy. Let's talk about some of those decisions, though, very briefly coming up next. Break down the bullpen, break down the Sal Frelick Butcher Boy attempts. If you're not familiar, we'll explain. That's next here on WTMJ.
Brewers Weekly on WTMJ.
So let's talk about what everyone in my mentions was freaking out about today's pitching decisions with Pat Murphy. I teased it there in the highlight segment, but to lay out the situation once again. Corners and two outs in the sixth inning. Bottom of the order, a righty due up, and then Shohei on deck, a lefty, and then a righty in Teoscar Hernandez. So, three batter minimum, you're going to face righty, lefty, righty if you have to face all three batters. Elvis and Hudson were warming. And I asked Pat Murphy directly, like, hey, what was the game plan? Like, was there a situation where Hudson would have faced that ninth inning or that nine batter as opposed to Peguero? And he said, if they had brought in a lefty to pinch hit for, well, their lefties were in the game. So the thought would have been there. It's like I don't think they would have brought in Kiermaier in that situation, given he's more of a defensive replacement. In fact, Elvis's numbers are worse against righties than they are against lefties. So it's like you're giving the advantage if you brought in the lefty there to face Elvis. So I still stand by. I would have gone with Hudson. I'm not a manager. I don't like playing armchair manager. I've been over this many times. But the end of the day, the inherited runner stuff, and this is something that Pat Murphy has admitted himself. Elvis is not his strong suit coming in, cleaning up someone else's mess. That's just not his suit. And the numbers simply bear that out. He has not been the strongest with inherited runners. Coming into tonight, he had allowed 6 of the last 9 to score. He inherited 2 more today. He's now allowed 11 inherited runners in 25 attempts. You know, it's just too high. It's too many, 14 inherited runners in 25 attempts. It's too high. And it's a trend and it's an attribute now. It's not just a little funk with inherited runners. This is his problem. Now, he did get a weak ground ball. It was a seeing eye single. At the same time, I still would have gone to Hudson. And then the peculiar thought of have Hudson give you multiple innings while trailing. Now the Brewers took the lead in the bottom of the eighth inning, so he suddenly gets the win. Well, if Hudson was able to go multiple innings while losing, why not give him the chance against Kike Hernandez in the seventh? That's just, it's my two cents. I'm not trying to be armchair manager, but that's how Pat Murphy laid it out. That's how I disagree with it, and we can all move on and see if that was a sink or swing moment for Elvis Peguero. The Butcher Boy thing, where you fake a bunt, pull it back, and try to swing, in Pat Murphy's words, he got under it. That was exactly what they wanted to do, especially with both corners already crashing in, expecting the bunt. The assignment is to hit a ground ball to short, but he didn't, because short would be vacated by the shortstop running over toward third base. But he got under it, and he popped out. Failed execution. Great bunt in the eighth inning, though, that didn't work out on the two-out safety squeeze. Can't really be a squeeze with two outs, but that would have been fun, to say the least. All right, well, let's give you the preview for the weekend against the Guardians after this on WTMJ.
It's Brewers Weekly on WTMJ.
So to get to the question from Mike in Colorado about Churio's contract, let me just lay it out here quickly. He is guaranteed through his age 27 season. So he is under team control on this contract, buying out his arbitration in his first 2 years of free agency through his age 27 season. He will be guaranteed $80 million between now and 2031. He'll be making $4 million this year, $7 million next year, or excuse me, $4 million next year, $7 million in 26, $8 million in 29, $9 million, $15 million, $16 million, $17 million. And then two club options, both worth $25 million if the club opts in. So he is a Brewer for a long time. That's why they signed him to the deal. If he became a superstar, they were able to afford him, guaranteed for his arbitration years and his first 2 years of free agency, and then see what he'll be worth come the option years. Okay, this week, back to the normal weekend schedule, 7:10, first pitch tomorrow night. We're on the air at 6 o'clock here with Brewers warm-up. It'll be Gavin Williams for the Guards against Aaron Civale, against his former team, going for the Brewers. Then on Saturday, it is a Fox game, but we'll be on the air once again at 5 o'clock for a 6:15 first pitch. That'll be Tanner Bibee against Freddie Peralta. Then on Sunday, to end this 13-in-a-row stretch for the Crew, that game's at 1:10. We're on the air at noon. Ben Lively, a right-hander for the Guards, against Colin Ray, the righty for the Crew. Off day Monday, and then on to St. Louis for a chance to maybe end this division. They're up 9 games now. The Dodgers go there next for 3 in a row. Then the Brewers are the next ones to town. I mean, they could arrive to town if they win this series against the Guards and the Dodgers win the series there. They could already be up 11 and then really end things next week. That's going to do it for us here on the program. My thanks to our producer, Matt Yazel. I'm Dom Catronio. We'll be talking to you tomorrow. Man, can't wait. Keep on swinging.